Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll talk about Juju Smith-Schuster, who chose the Pittsburgh Steelers over your Kansas City Chiefs. We'll also give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll talk about the Royals in a more traditional way, but we are going to play a game we debuted last week called Name That Royal. We had a gentleman on the show. His name was Chuck, and Chuck was absolutely fantastic. You would think that he was Kurt Nelson and worked for the Royals Hall of Fame the way that he knew the Kansas City Royals. Well, you know what, Sean Levine? We're going to give you a chance to rebound. I think that last week you just ran up against too tough of an opponent.
Yeah.
You were Gonzaga and you ran up against Baylor. It happens. Baylor's an all-time team. You were an all-time team. It just wasn't your night. So Name That Royal is very simple. There is a show. It's called Name That Tune. So they'll give you a clue. And then you say, I can name that show in 5 tunes. The other person says, well, I can do better than that. I can name it in 4 tunes. And then they go back and forth, and then somebody has to press the button to challenge their opponent. We're going to do that same thing with Royals players. Sean, you understand the rule. You'll be going up against another gentleman. His name is Sean, spelled the incorrect way, S-A-S-H-A-W-N.
Embarrassing.
Spelled the wrong way.
That's ridiculous.
I got a feeling you're going to redeem yourself here. Rob, hit my music. There have been 2 players in Royals history with the last name White. How many do you think you can name?
2.
All right. I won't even give him the opportunity. You think you can name both of them?
Yeah. You said White?
Yes.
Frank White?
Mm-hmm.
Rondell White.
Correct. Rondell White. Play for the Royals. That was a deadline move for the Royals there. Deadline move for your Kansas City Royals.
I was super excited when they got Rondell White, but then again, I was super excited when they got Curtis Laskanik and Al Levine.
Graham Lloyd, too.
Graham Lloyd. Yeah, none of that panned out great. I was excited when they got, what was Butcher? Those guys from the Padres?
Ryan Butcher?
Yeah, I always get excited. It usually doesn't work out.
All right, Sean, the other Sean, we're coming to you. There have been 3 players in Royals history with the last name Pena. How many do you think you could name?
3.
I need an answer. This isn't that 2? Hard of a question.
2, I think.
All right, 2.
I just want to see him do it. He doesn't sound very good. Doesn't sound real confident to me.
I think he's going to get 2.
Okay.
All right, Sean, you said you can name 2. Levine is challenging you.
I don't think you can.
Name 2 players in Royals history with the last name Pena.
Tony Pena Jr.
Correct.
Carlos Pena.
Carlos Pena is correct.
I couldn't remember if Carlos Pena like was a Royal or not. That really did happen.
He was. Do you think you can name the other one?
I got the 3rd one.
I want to see if you can name it.
Willie Mo Pena.
No.
Who?
Brian Pena.
Backup catcher extraordinaire.
Yeah, Brian Pena. Yeah.
Brian Pena.
I remember Brian Pena.
Was the last one.
All right.
All right. Mark, there have been 13 players in Royals history.
Wow.
With the name Mark. How many do you think you could name?
I could probably get half of them. I think I could get probably 7 of them.
You think you can get 7?
Yeah.
Okay. Sean, the caller. Mm-hmm. Levine thinks he could get 7 players in Royal history named Mark. Do you think you could do better, or are you going to challenge him to do it?
I'll challenge him to do it.
All right. Our caller doesn't seem very confident in his Royals naming ability today. All right. There are 13 players in Royals history named Mark. You said you could name seven. Let's go.
All right. Let's start with a couple of the obvious ones. Gooby, Mark Gubiza.
Correct.
I don't know how to spell this guy's last name, but Mark Grudzelanek.
Correct.
He played for the Royals.
He definitely did. Second baseman, extraordinaire.
Yeah. Speaking of infielders, you had third baseman Mark Tien.
Correct. You've got three so far.
Yeah,
you need four more.
I'm not feeling good about four more,
I think this is kind of where you're going to start drowning, my guy.
Okay. Mark, so there was the Davis brothers. It was Storm Davis, and it was Mark Davis.
Shout out to my guy, Mark Davis.
So that's your guy? So you got those Davises.
Yep. So you have three more.
Okay. How about former power hitter Chili Davis? Yes, no? Chili
this
Davis?
Is, this is Mark is their first name.
Oh, that's what we're doing. Okay, not Davis's. then was Chili Davis's real name not Mark?
They're two separate individuals. You literally said the Davis
brothers. I think
brothers.
His name was Mark Chili Davis. His real name wasn't Chili. You think Chili Davis' real name was Chili?
That has nothing to do with the game that we're currently playing.
You want guys named Mark, right?
Yes.
I'm telling you, I believe Chili Davis' real name was Mark.
And I crossed Mark Davis off for you.
There was a different Mark Davis. He was a pitcher. Find out what Chili Davis' real name was. He don't understand.
His real name is Chili.
Oh, well, then I didn't get it right.
He was born in Kingston, Jamaica. Chili Davis.
Yo, you know who you low-key are? I know, hold on real quick.
Chili's a dope name.
You want to know who you kind of are sometimes? Hold on, let me find this. Hold on. Give me 2 seconds.
All right, I'll stall for you.
Hold on.
I love the name Chili.
I don't know where everything is because I was gone.
Remember Fritz's Chili? I like more beans, actually, in my chili. I'm stalling as long as I can here,
brother. No, I got you. This is you.
There's four guys on the NBA team that got guaranteed contracts, and everybody else can be cut today and don't get nothing.
And don't have land dime.
Look it up. Look it up. Look it up.
Look it up.
It's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed.
I'm telling you, you was wrong.
All right, fine.
I'm Channing Crowder here. Trying to tell you, Brandon Marshall, you're wrong.
All right.
You can still keep playing the game. You have Mark Gubiza, Mark Grizzolanek, Mark Davis, who is a completely different person than Chili Davis.
Apparently.
And also Mark Tien,
Chili?
Who also is a very completely different person than Chili Davis.
You didn't think Chili's real name was Chili. I know this is not the point of the game, but there's no way if I would have asked you before the show, do you think Chili's real name is Chili, you would have said yes. You would have said no, it's probably Steve. I'm out of marks, man. See if Sean with an H can get one. I bet he can't.
Oh, there's a couple like obvious ones here. All right, Sean, you can steal here. Can you name any other player in Royals history that had the first name Mark?
Got the three I was going for.
I gotta zap you, Sean. Well, I gotta zap you.
You gotta zap him. Chuck, he's not.
I gotta zap
I don't mind when, like, I don't like it when people cheat in these games, but he should have cheated. He had long enough. You stalled. I stalled. All you had to do was Google Mark Royals, and they were what, eight?
I think people want to play the game for real.
Yeah, but, I mean, at some point, you got to cheat to win. Who are the other Marks?
I wanted him to say Chili Davis so bad.
I mean, you know Mark Quinn. Mark Quinn was
Mark
on the
Quinn,
team.
Yeah, Mark Quinn.
And, yeah, Mark Redmond was probably the other. I mean, the other
All-star
ones played
Mark
a while.
Redmond.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I was saying. I was really surprised that you didn't get him.
Mark Quinn was on that TV show. It was like I don't think it was Baywatch. I want to say it was like a knockoff version of Baywatch. I can't remember exactly who was on it, but it was like a bunch of hard bodies on the beach. And I'm telling you, Mark Quinn was like, was Mark Quinn rookie of the year? Or did I make that up in my mind?
I don't believe he was rookie of the year. I know that he got votes. He also got hurt doing Taekwondo. So
what a career this guy's had. Unbelievable. What's
I mean, obviously it wasn't very memorable.
Does anybody
you
know
didn't
the name
get him
the show,
and name
though?
That royal.
Was it MVP, VIP, Jay Southland,
got,
service text
he
line?
He was third in Rookie of the Year in 2000.
Pretty good. The Royals had a nice run with guys that either won Rookie of the Year, they were really close with Beltran and Fabulous and Bob Hamlin.
Remember when
Bob
they shut
Hamlin?
Off the fireworks because Mark Quinn walked?
Angel Barroa also.
Angel Barroa.
Was really close to Rookie of the Year.
Sure. Angel Barroa was Rookie of the Year.
Barroa was Rookie of the Year. Was
he beat
Fabulous?
Out Matsui. Makes no sense.
Hideki Matsui. Fabulous was Rookie of the Year, right? Or am I making that up? I could be.
Okay, quick Google search here for Carlos Fabulous.
The Carlos brothers.
He's coaching. Terrible. He was basically 2003 Nicky Lopez.
Or Tony Pena Jr. That's all those guys were like okay for just like a minute, except for Nicky Lopez, and he's okay right now.
The text line is saying that Charles Davis is real, or Chili Davis's real name is Charles.
See, I knew
Fabulous never received any votes according to this.
I knew that his real name was not Chili.
Well, now, it wasn't Mark, which was the category.
That's fair.
You're right. You got that, it was Mark. That's right. What it was.
Right,
coming up in a little bit, we'll switch gears. Actually, we kind of won't.
I'm talking more about Chili Davis.
No, we're gonna talk about the Royals. I think Greg Holland is washed. Like I can't fight it anymore. I want to be positive. I want to be hopeful. I've seen Greg Holland pitch.
He's older than Chili Davis.
Right now, his ERA is like two movie tickets plus a popcorn and a soda. It looks over for my guy Greg Holland. We'll talk about it. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get back to talking some NFL football. Juju Smith-Schuster was being wooed by the Kansas City Chiefs, and he said, "Nah, I'm good. I'm going to stay where I'm at.
I'm straight."
We'll also give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. I actually saw this, so in that same podcast in which we found out about the Chiefs' pursuit of him, Juju also said that he makes $2 million away from the football field in all the things that he does. A great life and just playing video games and dancing on TikTok. I salute Juju Smith-Schuster for all that he does. It kind of hurts me to say this because you know I'm Hope Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very hopeful, believing person in this Royals team. And I think through the first six games, you guys have seen why I was so hopeful about the Royals at the offset of the season. And I'm still very hopeful about the Royals. But as we start to see and get more information and data, we have to give our honest opinion and assessment on the roster. And I'm looking at Greg Holland. And I hate to tell you, I am starting to feel like it's over for Greg Holland. And it certainly would be understandable. We're talking about a guy who is 35 years old, certainly a long way away from his prime, his peak back in 2013 through 2015 with the Kansas City Royals. We're talking about a guy who, over the last four seasons, has bounced around. He's played some in Colorado. He played in St. Louis. He played in Washington. He played in Arizona. Now found himself back in Kansas City. So at this point, and I want to be respectful to Greg Holland, we're talking about a journeyman pitcher. That is what he has been since his run with the Royals ended the first time. He has played on a different team every other year. Outside from now, he has been a journeyman pitcher since he's left. He's 35 years old, and I'm here telling you it don't look good. I'm not expecting it to be what it was in 2014 and 2015, obviously. Not very realistic, but I'm looking at a guy right now in a role that I'm not really sure that he's suited for. I'm looking at a team and an organization who is really stocked in the bullpen and does a really good job of replacing people like Greg Holland. We're at game six right now, heading into game seven. I don't know if we're going to be having too many conversations when we get to game 60 about Greg Holland, because I think he is going to be replaced.
I mean, if we're talking about the career of Greg Holland, the Royals' career of Greg Holland, as it is, Royals Hall of Famer, single season saves record, what do you have, 57, I think it was, 1 year. There's no question about that. If you're talking about the now Greg Holland, you're right. It's not the same guy. None of us are the same guy that we were 5 or 6 years ago, and certainly for a guy that's in his, what, late 30s at this point, he's not. My only kickback would be this. We started the show talking about Brad Keller, and you were telling me not to jump off a ledge because he's only thrown 4.2 innings this year. You know how many total innings this year Greg Holland's pitched?
Like two.
One. Now, part of that is because he can't get guys out, but he's pitched one inning. It's been bad. Four hits, three walks, couple of strikeouts, gave up a home run. I want to see a little bit more of a sample size. Now, you can also say, well, if you want to see more of a sample size, look at what he did the last couple of years. It wasn't good, and that's a very fair point. But it was good enough for Dayton Moore and the Royals to think that not only was this guy good enough to make the opening day roster, he was good enough to pitch early and somewhat often so far through the first six games. So let's just give it a minute. You might be right. You might be right, but I'm not ready to cut cord just yet, are you?
I mean, let's be real here, though.
And are you done?
I mean, but what you just said, though, I mean, let's be honest here. If it didn't look good before he got here, it ain't looking good right now, and he's 35 years old. We're not talking about Brad Keller.
Then why do you make the opening day roster? If they've got 18 of their 30 best players in the minor league system are young arms, why not bring one of those guys up?
But I mean,
Dayton can be wrong.
Sure.
Thought he had a little bit more left in the tank. You then got him here. The tank is on E, and you just move on from him.
He's a Honda Accord, bro. Just because the tank's on E doesn't mean you're done. You could drive halfway across Kansas City on E with a 1998 Honda Accord.
What do you think Greg Holland's role is going to be by game 60? So right now we're at game 6. So
he's going to be at that Airbnb that Sammy Watkins stays at.
I'm talking not even at the halfway point of the season. What do you think Greg Holland's role is going to be? Because I would guess that he's not on the team.
Probably not on the team.
So it's over then. What are we talking about? It's over.
We've seen one inning. That's what I'm talking about.
So it's over then.
We've seen two games. We've seen one inning. So let's say he goes out there and they say he's not over. Carrington's ridiculous. And this is Greg Holland we're talking about. We're going to give him every shot in the world. And he goes out there the next two times and he has scoreless innings. Well, then all of a sudden, it's looking a whole lot better. Like, I don't understand that you could say for Brad Keller, don't panic. The sample size is real small.
He's 25 and Greg Holland's 35. So right now, to me, Greg Holland feels like a running back that's done. He feels like Derek Johnson when he went to go play for the Raiders. He feels like Jamal Charles when he went to go play for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's what it feels like to me with Greg Holland, just based on my eye test of what I've seen.
Well, then the Royals missed pretty bad. I mean, if they decided they were going to bring Greg Holland into camp, let him break camp with the big league club, be a part of this team. I think he pitched in the first game of the season. And then a week into it, they cut Cord. Like, I don't think they're going to do it. I think at some point they probably will if the sample size gets bigger and he looks as bad as he has so far. But that's like hiring somebody and then firing them the next week. You're basically admitting that you didn't, filter the hiring process the way you would. So I don't think that's egg all over your face. I don't think the Royals are going to 1 week into this thing say, thanks, Greg Holland, for your services, but you're done here. I'd be shocked.
I mean, I definitely don't think it's going to be 1 week, but I mean, extrapolating out, it just doesn't have the right feel to me. We asked Vernon this question earlier. Is Greg Holland washed? This is what he said.
Colorado runs him into the ground, and basically, just like they did with Wade Davis, and possibly ruins their careers. But the 2 years ago, Greg Holland was very good for the first 50-some-odd games of the season, for the first 2 months of the season. And then he fell off a cliff and ultimately was DFA'd by Arizona. 2020, last year, yeah, he was very good. But again, that was only 2 months. That was only 60 games of a season. So I've always had my concerns about Greg Holland in June, July, August, and September. I honestly wasn't thinking I would be concerned about him right out of the gate. Is it possible that he's washed up? Of course, yeah. I mean, you look at the last 4 years of Greg Holland, outside of the first 60 games in 2019 and the first 60 games of 2020, he's been a very bad relief pitcher that's been dealing with injury in the past, of course. I certainly think it's a possibility, but I also believe that this team has enough depth in that bullpen that they can drop him pretty low in the depth chart and allow him some time to either get through it or to save face before calling it a career.
I don't think that, let's say this Greg Holland thing ends the way that I think it's going to end. That they give it a really good try for 6 to 8 weeks, and then we figure out that Greg Holland just ain't got anymore.
Bring back the other age. What's Kelvin Herrera doing? Is he still a big leaguer?
And I think if there's one thing I know Kansas City is, it is very gracious towards its former stars that help you accomplish great things like most cities. So the Royals tried to bring back Wade Davis and Holland on a, win one for the Gipper, finish your career out of Kansas City Royal. We'll bring back Jerrod Dyson. We'll bring back Holland. We'll try to bring back these veterans who have won to help these young guys get there. You're going to hit on some of them, and you're going to miss on some of them just due to the nature of the business. I look at Wade Davis, and I'm optimistic about Wade Davis. Now, he's obviously not what he was in 2014 or 2015, but can he be the 16th best closer in Major League Baseball? That seems very realistic to me. The way that they're using Jerrod Dyson, I think that is the role for him. But looking at Holland as being your 7th, 8th guy or a guy that you trust to pitch in high leverage situations, I'm good. No, thank you.
I understand using age and saying, well, you can't compare Greg Holland to a guy like a Brad Keller because, he's got a decade on him when it comes to age. And I understand when you talk about upside and where these guys were drafted and all that. I understand you can look back at the last couple of years for Wade Davis, Greg Holland, and say, well, there's a chance that they're not great this year because they have been the last couple of years. But if we just, in a vacuum, judge these guys on what they've done so far this year, I'm talking about the pitchers, the rotation, and the bullpen, I would just say, in the words of Aaron Rodgers, the Jeopardy host, relax. Do you know the pitcher so far that's thrown the most innings for the Kansas City Royals? Jacob Junis, who's not really part of the plans in the rotation, and he went out there and gave, what was it, six innings? I think it was one hit, bunch of strikeouts. The second best pitcher through the first week and change has been Danny Duffy. We all think that Danny Duffy's probably either not going to be on the team at the end of the season. If he is, he's probably going to be in the bullpen. He went out there his first start and was awesome, as good as he's ever been. Six innings and only two hits. Mike Minor went out there and was pretty good. Those are the guys that you thought, maybe you hoped, would give you something, and the guys that you thought you knew when it comes to the rotation, the Brad Kellers, the Brady Singers, again, a very small sample size, haven't been that good. I would just say, let's not judge the pitching staff and even the bullpen to some extent here for a couple of weeks, because this is not the NFL season. This is not college football where you play 11 games, you play 16 games. We're six games into 162 of these things. So the numbers right now aren't what they're going to be as this thing plays out.
If the Royals are up eight, or let's say tomorrow the Royals are up 2-1 heading into the eighth inning and Greg Holland is coming out of the mound, how do you feel?
I feel like they probably should have brought somebody else in.
it's over. It's okay to acknowledge that. Coming up in a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 at our national cash contest. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I have $1 million idea I want to give you guys for free.
Okay.
I'll do that after I give you the code word, which the code word will help you invest in my idea. The code word is wild. W-I-L-D, wild. It is wild to me that Sean Pitt Gonzaga to win the national championship when they got beat by a million points. Wild, W-I-L-D, wild, 272-881. Wild is your national cash contest code word. So I, during the break, saw a clip of Alfonso Ribeiro on a podcast.
Carlton?
Yes, and he was saying how this stage of his career is really enjoyable because now he can just be himself. Like, he can just, like, he's not in acting anymore. He wants to act, but Hollywood isn't really interested in him acting in that way. So he's like, I get to go out and just be myself, and I really enjoyed it. That was the clip I looked at. It was like 40 seconds while during the commercial break. And then an idea hit me. This is my idea.
You're going to suggest Cameo, aren't you? Because it already exists.
No, I'm not going to suggest Cameo.
Okay.
why wouldn't they make a movie with all former child stars? I'm saying is, you always say, hey, where's Sinbad? Hey, where's fill in the blank person? Why not make a movie with all of those people at one time?
You're not going to like my answer because it's kind of cryptic. Most of them are dead. That's why. Most of them are dead or on crack or in jail. That's why. I mean, you're right. Like, if we started naming child stars that we even know exactly what they do, I think the list would be a lot shorter than you think.
I mean,
they're boxing celebrities. Like,
how many people do we need in a movie? We need 75 people in a movie. You're telling me right now we can't get Hayley Duff to do a movie. You're telling me that we can't get Jonathan Taylor Thomas to do a movie.
I don't think
you
could.
And I'm saying it's all of these people who right now, we have no clue what they're doing. So I'm guessing, Rob, you could get these people for cheap. You're telling me right now, if you call up these individuals, you call up these people, you're like, yo, I've got a movie idea. I want you to be in it. Sure, I'll do it for $1,000.
So it's different child actors from every generation. So you're talking about like Macaulay Culkin could be the son of Danny Bonaducci or something? Is that what you're talking
about? Yes, get all of these people.
That's not the worst idea I've heard.
Get all of these people in one movie. So, like, you
Alicia Silverstone?
You have no interest in a new movie. It doesn't matter what the plot is. You're not going to see the new movie.
No.
They would get you to go to the movie. Like, oh, damn, I liked all of these people. And they would also get me and Rob, who genuinely like movies.
You're a producer now. Why don't you get on it?
They should do this.
You shouldn't give away your ideas.
You're telling me right now you wouldn't watch a movie. Topanga's in it. They got people from Full House in it. You telling me Urkel's doing a whole lot with his life right now? You can't get Laura Winslow to do this movie. You can have a whole universe. You can have a whole movie universe based off this idea.
Could I get the Code Man from Step by Step?
You can get whoever.
You serious?
The same way that somebody's saying this is the Expendables, and the Expendables is amazing. You guys see the Expendables? They got all the old washed action heroes and put them in one movie. And they make three movies based off that
premise. Do I have to choose between twins? Like, can I have Tia and Tamara?
It's your movie. You can put whoever you want in the
movie.
I can
have both the Michelles. I can have both the kids from, what was that show called on Disney Channel when they lived on the boat? You know what I'm talking about?
I never seen that show.
It was The Sweet Life of Zach and Cody.
Sweet Life of Zach and Cody.
Didn't think I'd get there, huh? I want both of them.
Yes, that's what I'm
saying. I got all of them?
If you want to cast them in your movie, yes. You could. That's my idea for a movie. I don't know if this is a great idea for a movie, but they certainly have made movies with less. That's my idea for a movie.
You want to keep going? What's the plot? Or just you're telling us who the crew is?
I'm just saying, let's get these people to do a movie.
Okay.
And then we'll sign up for the movie.
Okay.
We'll sign up for it.
You've had much worse ideas than that one, that's for sure.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll get to the hits and the top story of the day in Kansas City. I'll also tell you songs that I hate in a way that will make sense. I want to play this audio for you. This is Juju Smith-Schuster. Who are you, a Juju guy and not a Juju guy? Where do you stand on Juju Smith-Schuster?
I mean, he's a little different. After hearing this, what you're about to play, I think that in the long run,
I like Juju.
He's fine. Like on the field, he's so up and down that he's a weirdo is what I'm trying to get at, man. Like he's all first team weirdo. He's a weird dude.
Okay, I want to play this for you and I think I'm the only person that heard it this way. Like everybody is focused on the pictures. I don't think that's the real moral of this.
What it meant, KC?
You played in KC. You just couldn't bring yourself to side with Baltimore. Is that it because of the division rival?
Yeah, that too. And just looking at, you know, I'm curious to see how they're going to be this year. You know, happy Sammy Watkins and, you know, how they're going to use him and throwing the ball and stuff like that. Lamar's a really a heavy run offense, you know, with the backs that he has. And that's just point being facts, you know. His number one target was Andrews as a tight end. And I think, you know, it just seeing KC and like, bro, Andy Reid was just calling me and then he was sending me the Brody trophy pictures like constantly. So I was like, and we had a good talk. So it would have been KC after the Steelers.
Hey, Coach Reid. We're sending you Lombardi trophies.
Yeah, like pictures of the Lombardi. Like texted to me, like while I was trying to make a decision, and you know, I have so much respect for, you know, him and his team. So yeah,
I've got a question to ask you guys, which is a very legitimate question.
Knowing you come in second place kind of sucks. I just want to put that out there. Like, it would have been better if we just didn't know.
I think we already knew that, though, about Juju. I mean, I don't think we knew about the pictures, but I think we knew that Kansas City was really interested in Juju and they missed.
Now we know for sure.
Have you heard of a story, whether a player signed with Kansas City or didn't sign with them, where their story was, I was recruited by the general manager? Because if you remember, Tyrann Mathieu talked about how Andy was the person that he kept in contact with. Can you think of a story that we've seen so far where it was, hey, the general manager identified me as a player and really pursued me and reached out to me to get me to come play for the team?
What are you getting at?
I'm just asking.
I don't think it matters because I think that his job and his job title and his paycheck say he's a general manager, but I'm not ignorant enough to think that if you're going to come to Kansas City, it's going to be one, probably because of Patrick Mahomes, and two, because of Andy Reid. I think that absolutely at some point Brett features in on these conversations, but I'm sure somebody's told you at some point throughout your life, coffee's for closers, and I think that Brett Veach is more of an opener. He's a, hey, would you be interested in coming here? Here's the parameters, but if you're actually going to end up here, it's Andy Reid or Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, so maybe this is what I'm getting at here. So we don't think that he recruits the players, right? Okay, so we think that's an Andy thing. We think that's a Mahomes thing.
And at this point, it kind of recruits itself.
That's fine. We don't think that he drafts the players incredibly well, right? Like, we don't think he drafts the players incredibly well. What does he do? Like, I kind of feel like we need the Family Feud music. And if I said to you guys right now, what's Brett Veach's best skill? Because, like, if we did that for Dayton Moore, if I asked you guys phone line right now, what do you think Dayton Moore does exceptionally well? I could probably give you, like, five things I think he does well. There's some things I think he's deficient at. But I could give you five things of, I think Dayton's really good at building a bullpen. I think Dayton consistently wins trades. I think Dayton keeps team morale really high. I think Dayton has a lot of noticeable skills. What's Veach's skill? What does he do at a really high level?
I think
because he doesn't draft incredibly well. Like, that's not an opinion at this point. I would say that's based on what we've seen so far. The fact of his first draft pick was Breland Speaks, and he's in the league right now.
That actually is something that he does well in a weird way, though. He doesn't draft well at the top of the draft.
Okay, all right.
But if you want to talk about finding a guy like L.J. Snead, who if they redrafted this year, instead of being drafted, what was he, a sixth-round pick? Might have been the sixth overall pick.
Okay.
That's pretty good. And he's found those guys the last few years in a Fenton and a Ward with varying levels of success, but those guys are cheap in low rounds where you're not wasting picks. So I agree with you that he's not great the first few years in the draft, but he's not as awful as you're making him out to be.
All right, so hold on. So I'm just saying is I just want to write this down. We think Brett Veach's number one skill is drafting guys like Legarius Sneed, Rashad Fenton, and Charvarius Ward. That's the number one skill we think the general manager for the best team in the NFL has.
No, the top line that I would say on his resume so far as Chiefs general manager is that he eyeballed, convinced, paid, and landed Tyrann Mathieu. And the minute that Tyrann Mathieu got here, it changed the defense and they won the Super Bowl. I would say that so far has probably been his biggest achievement.
I would give that to Andy Reid.
You give that to Andy Reid.
I mean, I think Tyrann Mathieu gave it to Andy Reid. Tyrann, and I can play the I cut if you want to say it, where Tyrann's like, Andy was the one that really recruited
me. I got one for you.
I really wanted to play with Patrick Mahomes.
I got one.
I'm just thinking, maybe I'm wrong here. I think they get Tyrann Mathieu if you were the general manager of the Chiefs. I think if Rob was the general manager of the Chiefs, I think Tyrann Mathieu signs with the team because I ain't coaching the team and I ain't throwing the football for the team.
All right.
I think he signs for it.
I got one for you, I think.
Okay, so
you've shot down everything I've said so far, but you're not going to be able to – no missile for this one. Andy Reid's incredibly loyal, right? Like, he'll keep you around for a long time. There's this guy named Bob Sutton that was a defensive coordinator for a long time.
He was definitely there for
a long time.
And
Andy just kept him around, and I think that it was Achilles' heel to the point where the Chiefs might have already won a Super Bowl before Pat got here if they didn't have Bob Sutton. Maybe. We'll see. Or maybe when Pat was first here. We all know what happened with that defense in the AFC Championship game. I don't know if Andy was ever going to cut cord with a guy that he had a very deep personal relationship with. I think that it was Brett Veach that said, yo, we got to cut cord, man. This is not working. It's embarrassing. It could be the missing link between us winning a Super Bowl and not. And maybe it was just he took the fall, but I think that he was the guy that brought Bob Sutton into his office. So you can poke holes the way that you do when it comes to Patrick Mahomes and Brett Veach. Like,
okay.
I know you don't believe the same way that I do. I think that Brett Veach, the main reason he ended up with the job is because he had a major influence on Patrick Mahomes landing in Kansas City. You can fight that and say, nah, that was probably Andy Reid. He's a quarterback guru. That was probably a combination of scouts. That was probably Clark Hunt more than it was. I don't believe that. I don't believe the Chiefs would get rid of a guy in John Dorsey, have a guy like Chris Ballard in-house, and go with Brett Veach if he didn't do something that was awesome with a capital A and an exclamation point. And that's what Patrick Mahomes has been. So I think that there's that happened behind the scenes, which basically, and then winning the Super Bowl a couple of years later, gives him not a lifetime contract like Bill Self got when you were off the last couple of days, but he's got a long leash.
Okay.
A long leash.
I'm with you. I ain't really heard a whole lot about how he's helping build the team right now. We don't think he recruits very well when it comes to getting other guys. Like, you talk about how they keep missing out on players. So he's not the closer. He's not the guy that people are coming to play with. We don't think that he's I think he kind of gets overzealous in free agency and, like, wants to swing big and wants to do these things and, like, doesn't really have a really good plan B. We don't really like the top of his drafts. All right, like, what does he do? What's his skill? What's he elite at? If Brett Veach is the number one general manager in the NFL, why? I want anybody to tell me why you think that.
Well, I don't think he is the number one general manager. I think that he was put into the best position, and I think he was put into a position where the team was already winning divisions and had Patrick Mahomes and had a lot of infrastructure in place, and his job was to make those couple of moves that got him over the top, a la Cueto and Zobrist, to win the championship. And guess what happened? Like, you can say, well, he didn't have as much influence on getting Patrick Mahomes, or he busted when it comes to Frank Clark, or he busted on drafting a guy like Edward Zelaya. I mean, we can argue all those different things. But the truth is, he was the general manager when we had the first parade for the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl in my and your lifetime. You can't argue that. You can argue that a lot of those players were John Dorsey guys, if you want to break it down with a microscope.
You ain't got to make that argument. It's a fact. It's a fact. We ain't got to make – I ain't got to create no argument that's right there.
You could also say if they wouldn't have got rid of John Dorsey, then who knows what moves would have been made. Maybe they wouldn't have ended up with Tyrann Mathieu. Maybe they still would have had Bob Sutton. I mean, now I'm arguing things that actually happened. So – I don't think that Brett Veach has done an amazing job. I think that he's done a better than average job. And I think that this is a big offseason for him, particularly in the draft, because we've been saying this since the minute we knew they were going to pay Patrick Mahomes, that you're not going to be able to go out there and take a flyer on an Anthony Hitchens and overpay him or a Sammy Watkins, those type of guys. You have to hit in the draft. And I agree with you. The last couple of years, the top of the draft, looking back on it, okay, maybe like a C at best. I don't really know what Thornhill is, to be that honest with you. I don't really know what Willie Gay is, to be honest with you. I'm probably holding out hope a little bit too much for Hardman. So I do like the Edwards-Helaire pick. I know Rob and I are going to butt heads on that one. Like, I think he's going to be really, really good next year. I think this is the draft when you can really start to judge Brett Veach. How much is this guy actually helping out versus just has the title?
I think Brett Veach is good at managing the cap. I think he's good at it. I think he's great.
You think that's his only skill set?
I think he is. I would say he has two clear skills.
Because he could be an accountant if that's all he does.
I think he is good at the salary cap. I think he has shown an ability to find a market inefficiency at corner.
For the record, you know there's a salary cap guy. So, like, you're talking about Brett Veach didn't actually do all these different things. I'm not sure that he was the guy that turned that $300 into all those guys either.
I would also argue that as well. I think, but I mean, I'll give the general manager credit for that. Like, you are negotiating the contracts. Like, I'll give him that. Like, I don't think that Andy is involved in the business of the Chiefs. I think he's involved in the player evaluation and getting them. And it's just a, hey, I got so-and-so to sign in. You make the salary cap work, you and your team. So I'll give him that. I think he's done a really good job at finding those corners. Like, you did trade for Charvarius Ward. You did draft Fenton in the sixth round. You did pick Snead. I'll give you that. And I think he's good at the cap. I personally struggle after that to find what I think he's elite at. I personally struggle. Maybe everybody else finds other good things. I struggle at finding Wells what he does well after really that. And then hearing the Judas Mister, like, yeah, I mean, Andy, I was talking to Andy the whole time. Like, okay, all right.
I don't know how much you can blame him.
Really quick, though, I also would argue, what's the purpose of having all this salary cap space if right now there's not really very many good players to spend the salary cap on?
Well, they didn't think it was going to be available. That's what I was going to say.
They created it with guys on their own team. They didn't do anything.
No, I mean that they thought they would have spent some of that money by now. Like with Trent Williams, it's not like the Chiefs gave some lowball offer. It's not like on Craigslist there's a Beamer for $25,000 and you say, I'll give you $5,000. Like, they just hang up on you. The Chiefs were in on it. There's actual audio of Trent Williams saying he thought he was going to come to Kansas City, and then San Francisco gave him a sweetheart deal and he wanted to stay home. That's not Brett Veach's fault. I mean, if anything, I pat him on the back for that and say, keep trying next time, man. Same thing with Juju Smith-Schuster. You heard it. You just played it. He was going to come to Kansas City had he not landed in Pittsburgh. Sloppy seconds suck, bro. Trust me, in college, a lot of sloppy seconds going on. It's not a good thing, especially when you're talking about a team that's trying to win the Super Bowl that has holes. Can you imagine, C-Dot, if they would have landed? Like, if this offseason would have netted Juju Smith-Schuster, Trent Williams, and Rodney Hudson? Now I'm rebuilding that statue for Brett Veach, albeit it didn't happen, but it's not like he hasn't been in on those things.
Well,
on those
guys. If you don't like leftovers, I don't think you really want to know what the rest of free agency looks like. Like, we're not even talking the $5 DVD bin at this point when it comes to free agents. We're talking about free agents are really picked over. We'll see what happens. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. I want to share something with you that I don't know if I've ever really shared this. there's certain songs that you hear whenever you go out for a good time. Maybe you and your lady go grab a drink, and you're like, hey, you know what? Let's go dancing at the end. You like to go dancing. I like to go dancing. Let's cut a rug. Let's go to Power and Light, and let's hear some good music today. She's like, okay, let's go. And then you take her to Tan and Wine Bar, and then you stop at Shark Bar, for example, because you want to cut a rug a little bit. I'm going to play to you some songs that I absolutely hate. And I wish that once we, like, go back out post-COVID, I never, ever hear again.
Okay.
The first one is going to be, and I hate to do it, it's a DMX song. I've never had a good time when I heard this song. This is the time when it's time for me to leave. When this song comes on, check. I hate this song. Absolutely hate Party Up.
I could be on Mass Street or in Aggieville, and if I'm walking by deciding where I'm going to go and I hear this, I'll walk in. I'll pay a fee. Are you kidding me? There's going to be some good-looking girls if this is going on. Like, the DJ knows what's up if he's playing this. On this, the day the Dark Man X passed? Like, come on, man.
I'm just saying, if they're playing this song, the girls that are dancing, rhythm really ain't their thing. I'm not really checking for this record. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, rhythm wasn't really one of my things when I was in college and trying to bring a girl home. It was very low on the list, I have to admit.
Yeah, rhythm's high to me. rhythm kind of matters to me. Like, it don't matter.
Yo, she can have three left feet. Like, what does she look like? You know what I'm saying?
Rhythm kind of matters to me during this.
So, she's tripping to fall, and I'm like, hey, what's up, girl?
I'm saying is, I don't have any interest in hearing Party Up. I love DMX. Like, I don't want anyone to think, because I don't like Party Up, that I don't like DMX.
It is a little disrespectful. I mean, the guy passed away like 4 hours ago.
I can name 50 other DMX songs that I love.
Okay.
I love What's My Name. I love Where My Dog's At. Rough Rider at. Anthem. There's 50 DMX songs that I'm like, I'm loved.
Shut them down, open up shop.
Never, ever want to go to a place where they're playing Party Up.
All right.
Another song that if we're saying is, tomorrow everybody's vaccinated, they say, hey, it's cool for you to be back to your normal life. And I'm like, you know what? We going out tonight. I hope this song is not playing because it's another song I'm leaving. California love. Song sucks. Absolutely sucks.
Not only does this song not suck, this takes me back to riding in my buddy El Vato Loco, Ander Vasquez, a buddy in high school. He had, do you know what a Suzuki Sidekick is?
No, I don't want to know.
It's like a,
I know what the T-Mobile Sidekick is.
No, it's great completely, phone. It's completely different. It's a car. It's like a knockoff cheap plastic version of a Jeep.
I'm not surprised you were listening to this terrible record.
Oh, me and the homies, we bumped this. We had 212s in the back of that thing, rolling around Overland Park, bumping California Love. Man, we were the dudes. I'd still do that.
Tupac's not even from California.
I don't care. He's still got love for California.
How did he make this song?
West Side is the best side. That's how, bro.
It'd be like if Rob made Empire State of Mind. That's what it would be like. So tomorrow, Rob was like, New York. You're from Odessa. How are you making this song about New York? Tupac is from Baltimore, Maryland. How are you making this song about California love? You just got there. You got there 2 weeks ago. Now you love California.
He didn't get there 2 weeks ago. Okay. And you know where he was in jail, right?
I don't know.
San Quentin, California. Okay. So I think that makes you a resident. So he can say California love if he wants to. He gave time there. Like real time.
I'm telling you right now, I have absolutely no interest in ever hearing California Love ever again. Like if I had the
City of Compton, keep it rocking.
Absolutely
City of what?
No interest. Another song from that same part of the country.
In the city of LA?
I have absolutely no interest. Rob, when I told Rob, I was like, Rob, hey, can you cut this for me so we can talk about it later? He's like, how dare you do this?
This is how we do it.
I'm so tired of this song. I can't do it anymore.
I can't defend this one. It sucks.
I can't do it anymore.
I'm good. This is corny written all over it. I feel like this is played in.
How is this song any different than the other ones? They always are in a group next to each other. They play Party Up, California Love, This Is How We Do It, then Taylor Swift comes on next. All of these songs are on Now 4. Now, that's what I call music. Value 4.
I'm pretty sure they stopped making those.
22 hip-hop hits.
There's no way they still make those.
They absolutely still
There's
make
There's absolutely no way they still make those mix albums. What are you talking about? Okay. There's no way. When I was a kid, they made them, and they were on, like, actual tapes, and then they went over to CD, and then they went away, like, a decade ago. You're telling me that there's a 2021 version of That's What I Call Music.
I'll find it for
you. The last time, my bet would be the last time they made a That's What They Call Music, Mbop was the best song on there. Mbop, bop, bop, doo, 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 doo. It was like Milli Vanilli, I bet, was on there. Blame It on the Rain. It's like a long time ago, dog.
There is a Now That's What I Call There's Country not. 2021. It came out February 20th of this year.
I don't believe you. The internet's lying.
I can find
it. I see it on your screen. I don't believe it.
I'm telling you, they still make Nows. They still make Nows.
Who buys it? Like, my girl's going to get mad. I know she's listening right now.
I think it's actually a lot different now.
Her mom still watches QVC. Like, how do these people still do these things?
I actually think it makes a little bit more sense now because all Spotify does is create Now. Like, when you think about it, like, those people, like, I'm more of like, there's two people that kind of stream music. There's people that let Spotify determine what you listen to. Or there's people like me, like, hey, I want to listen to DMX today. That's all I'm listening to. I'm here for this thing. When you think about it, the New Music Friday where they curate a list of songs to listen to, it's just Now. It's just Now, April 9th.
I was talking about an actual CD.
Like, I mean,
do CDs still exist?
No, they. I mean, I probably can buy them, but I mean,
like, you can't go into Best Buy and get a CD, right?
No, they don't.
When I was
sell
a kid,
anymore.
Best Buy was CDs. Like, you'd either go to Best Buy or you go to Hastings to get your CD. I got me the Bush Sisters Stone album, and I got the Bone Thugs and Harmony album back in like 1994. And then every year since, I would go ahead and get two albums for my birthday. And now you're telling me I can't even get a CD at Best Buy? That's sad. That's pathetic.
Somebody said, so can Michael Vick make a song about Leavenworth? I don't think he's making a song called Leavenworth Love.
No.
Like, I don't think that's like California Love is like, yo, it's really cool to be from here.
What?
I don't think that's what the Michael Vick song would be about.
Only spent time in Kansas in prison.
Yeah, it was not good.
No, it wasn't. I'm almost positive.
It was not a good time.
That there was time spent outside of prison for Tupac in California. Like, when he talks about these cities that he's been to, when he talks about L.A., he spent time outside the bars in L.A. Now, he was behind bars for a while also. In the case of Mike Vick, like, I don't think Mike Vick ever had a Kansas ID card. I don't think that ever happened.
Well, I mean, why would anybody just randomly visit Kansas? It sounds like an absolutely.
Well, I don't think it was random. I'm pretty sure they said, "Hey, Mike, this is where
I'm
you're
just
going."
Anybody,
Indiana,
like, why would like?
I don't think you did that by choice.
I don't think anybody's like, "Hey, you know where we're gassing the Pacer up and taking our kids through this? Let's go to Kansas for something." Last song I want to play that I hope I don't hear post COVID. This might be my least favorite song of all the ones I've heard so far. I really hate this song.
I'm just glad you didn't play Miley Cyrus, Born in the USA.
This is a let's go to the bathroom song. Like, hey, y'all, I gotta go to the bathroom.
Or anything from Juvenile, 400 Degrees, that was gonna piss me off. Yeah, no, I'm with you. This is prime up and go to the bathroom. This is prime I'm gonna hit up the bar. I might even bounce. Like, I'm one of those guys when I'm with the boys. And this back when I was single. If it's like, what time do the bars close in Missouri, typically?
Three.
So if it's like, lights on is usually like 2:20, 2:30. If it's getting that time and I'm like, I'm done, then I'll just sneak out. I've always been that way. Ever since I could legally drink, I'd be the dude that boys would text me the next morning and be like, are you all right? That song is usually my cue. Like, if I don't have a girl on my arm and that song comes on, your boy's got the Uber app up and ready.
Text line 913-576-7610. Somebody said, what about Return of the Mac? Come on, how dare you even suggest that I would put Return of the Mac on this list of songs? Like, how dare you suggest
that? Come on, Return of the Mac plays that little window with all these songs. Don't lie. It's like Return of the Mac, This Is How We Do It, Pony. That's how the bar plays music.
Return of the Mac is actually like a fun song. You lied to me. You're like, man, yes, she did. She absolutely lied to you. How dare she do that? How dare she treat you like that, Mac Morrison? How dare she do that to you?
I know. I've had that happen to me in the past. Those are the type of songs that come on and you've had a couple of drinks and then you start thinking too much. Like, that's not what I'm looking for. When I'm at the Riot Room, I don't want to walk home back to the crib like crying, getting depressed, and texting ex-girlfriends. It's not what I'm there for at all.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get to the hits and the top stories of the day in Kansas City. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app.